The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with Hyundai. Now offering 5 years free servicing on every new 142 Hyundai. Ireland's fastest growing car brand.
I have a massive apology to make to the audience. I did this big taram-taram to Niamh Harrigan and to Kevin Cullen and to Paul Allen. And we were talking about the... I was talking there about Doyle about the solstice. And I was doing taram-taram, 11:51. This is the actual moment that the sun is highest in the sky and all the rest. It was yesterday, folks, OK? I was wrong. It was yesterday. It wasn't today. Take it all back. But I'm going to hand you over to two experts now to hear about solstice and all its traditions. And that's Kevin Nolan, astronomer, who's with us, who told me, of course, it was yesterday, because he knows about these kind of things, being very clever. And we're also joined by Patricia Lysett, the former professor of folklore at UCD, because I always thought, Patricia, that the solstice and St. John's Eve, that midsummer festival, that they were the same thing, but they're a bit apart. They're not exactly the same thing, even though they're linked.
They're not, but the solstice is celebrated on the Eve of St. John, and that's done internationally, it seems. In fact, in the Irish language, it's called La Éile Óin or Iha Éile Óin. So it doesn't even distinguish that it's the solstice, which is Lár an Tábhairg. It says it's the Eve of the Feast of St. John. And like that, I mean, it's a religious feast, it's a Christian feast, it's a very old feast. But if you look at it in the context of the quarter days, which is St. Bridget's Day, the 1st of February, May Day, Lunasa and December, it too is celebrated on the Eve. So it has taken over all these characteristics of the other great festival days. But it comes in the middle, you know, between May Day and it comes between Lunasa. And it fits into that pattern.
I remember my granny talking about it and talking about St. John's Eve bonfires, and there were parades. And what were those traditions about, and how recently did they continue?
Oh, well, I mean, the bonfire, in fact, it's called bonfire night in places, you know, like Halloween, for example. But like Halloween is in the winter, so you can sort of see why it might be there. But the bonfire is very, very important, and it's still done in parts of the West and so on. When it started, we don't quite know, but we do know that it was done in the 17th century in Westmeath. St. Henry Pierce talks about it in the 1680s. And he said there were so many, you would think that Westmeath was on fire. There were so many. So it's associated with that. But it fits into the sort of agricultural Irish year as well, in that you do have a fire, but it is associated, of course, with festivity, because it's the longest day of the year. It's bright, the weather is good, you can enjoy yourself. It was a major networking occasion. People came from all around.
A courting occasion as well, wasn't it? It was the fertility of the ashes were used to fertilise the fields.
Well,
I think the hope was that the boys and girls might.
Well, I'm sure they did, and they jumped over the fire and they were there. It was a major networking occasion, and it was associated with the growing crops, because St. Bridget's Day, you were sort of thinking of sowing. May Day, you were letting out the cows, it was milk. Come summer, the crops are growing, the animals are out in the fields, so it's really associated with that, and with the life of the family as well. So the fire there then is sort of protective, transformative and so on, and you took some of the burning embers and you put them out in the fields and in the crops. In fact, there's a story about a courting couple in a cornfield who were nearly burned alive because they were throwing in some of the lighted brands into the field for protection. And it happened sort of, you know, as the sun was going down, and it stopped as the sun was coming up. So it was during that period, and it sort of links in a way then with Halloween. So it's sort of, it's there when the sun is going down, and it stops when the sun is coming up. And then people would bring some of the ash, the embers home and put them into the fire and so on. So it's bringing fire into the house. You never took fire out of the house. You brought fire into the house, because the fire was a symbol of life. It was transformative. So it was very important to keep it in the house. So as well as that, so it fits into the agricultural cycle in Ireland. But as you say, it was a major networking occasion for boys and girls, but also for the older people. They went to it, and except where it's held on heights. Now, if you take Lunasa, for example, that one, that was always on heights. So that was a much younger members of the population.
Never realized that.
It was. And Maura McNeill says that. So the Lunasa one was really very good fun, because it was young and you had to climb up to heights and so on for it. So the older generation there. But you find with St. John's that it was very much as well the older population, where somebody, an older person, would start the fire and would say prayers. So there were prayers associated with the saints element of it as well. Some places they said the rosary. There were family fires. They would light one at home, and then you had the communal one. So you had the cohesiveness, family-wise and community-wise.
And the thing that's absolutely amazing, and I presume Kevin Nolan is an astronomer now, you know, with all your fancy instruments and telescopes, but the fact that ancient pagan peoples were able to make these calculations about, me, they didn't get the name wrong. They could work out exactly where the Earth was in relation to all these planets in the sky.
That's right. And in fact, they wouldn't have even quite known the nature of the universe that they were within, but they could measure by what they observed in the sky with great precision. So what is extraordinary about something like the summer solstice is that we can understand that it's the moment of the year, it's a time when the sun reaches the highest point in the sky for the whole year. And for every other day, the sun would not reach the same height by as accurately as a third of a degree. And also,
do we know how they did that? It's amazing,
yeah,
isn't it?
We do actually, and again, it would have been might go something like this. They might notice directly by looking at the sun, but they would notice maybe that 2 hours before sunrise, a certain constellation was on the horizon. Then the next day, it had moved a little bit higher or lower in the horizon, and they knew, since the sky was largely fixed, they could then infer where the sun was and how high it would rise. So indeed, actually, the measurement of the lights of the solstice, knowing when the solstice was intrinsically connected with the agriculture of the year, when to sow, when when to reap, and all the rest of it. But not only that, and in fact, in researching for this program, we discovered that even over the lifetime of an individual, let's say over 72 years, you notice changes in this that are associated with, for example, the precession of the Earth's wobble over 26,000 years. So they use these measurements even to figure out the cosmic nature, the fact that ultimately we go around the sun once a year, we spin on our axis nearly every 24 hours, we're on a tilt of 23 degrees, and that changes, and it's never the same from year to year. It's always slightly different, and they measure those variations with extraordinary precision.
You can only, Niamh Harrigan, take that kind of, you can only be stunned at what people could achieve.
Yeah, but it's a totally different way in sociology. There's a lot of stuff being done at the moment about clock time and like light time, you know what I mean? And people who live their lives and their daily lives by the course of the light and how the light changes and getting up. And of course, there's a lot of kind of from holistic medicine now that would suggest that's a really good way to live your life. And we know a lot about like shift work, for instance. It can be very bad for you, you know what I mean? So there's it's fascinating the way in which those kind of knowledges about that to a certain extent that by figuring out the clock and all that gave us, and even if you look back earlier, you know, a lot of the enabling of international markets of finance now is linked to
couldn't
this
have markets
clock time.
Without clock. But you know, Paul Allen, even in this sophisticated mass communication kind of times, all week long there were people tweeting sunrises and sunsets.
True.
It's almost like there's this primitive response in people to the solstice still.
Yeah, like even listening to the two speakers, Kevin and Patricia, I think it's fascinating to hear things. It's a whole new world to me, and I could listen to you, both of you, all day. It's fascinating about the fires and the bits and pieces in Ireland. I know there was political fires. I think when Brian Cowan was elected Taoiseach, there was fires where he was. But it's just fascinating.
I used to live up in Stockholm for 5 years, and Midsummer is their equivalent of St. Patrick's Day. Actually, they still do the fire thing. They have a night called Volbury Night. So across the city, there's fires lit, and it's to welcome the sun. But the Midsummer ritual is quite like in Stockholm, and the street of Stockholm reserved Midsummer. Everybody goes to their stuga in the country house, and the tradition is to drink as much as you possibly can. So not as
I was in Connemara as a student for St. John's Eve once, and it was actually, my experience was the bonfires on the heights. They had them up on the hills, and it was incredibly powerful and kind of primal occasion, but the weather helps. I have to say, I'm not sure if the rain had hit, it would have been quite so.
I suppose the difference, I mean, something might be a bit different than what you find elsewhere, is the fact that holy wells were visited on St. John's Eve in Ireland, and that would be a very sort of Irish thing to do. And a number of these wells that might be visited 3 times a year for weather's well done in Artfert in Tralee, for example. You visit it before May Day, which would be the first quarter day, and then you visit it again on St. John's Eve, and then you visit it again on the Feast of St. Michael, because it was associated with fishing and so on in 29th of September. But the one that was held on the Feast of John, it was extraordinary. People came from everywhere. Again, the days were long, the journey was
good,
and so on.
Patricia, I could listen to you all day. Actually, well, I wish, but actually, I have to wrap up the programme. Before I wrap up the programme, I've got to give the result of the competition. The song from the Queer Fellow was, of course, The Old Triangle. And the first line, Kevin, you knew it?
I did. Hungry feeling.
A hungry feeling. And that is the answer. So we have 50 winners picked out, and they'll be getting their tickets for that special performance of The Borstal Boy at the Gaiety Theatre on September the 17th. I'd really like to thank all my panel today. I wish we'd more time, but we've got to leave you. So thanks to Patricia Lysett, former folklore professor from UCD, Kevin Nolan, astronomer, thank you so much for coming in and for joining us for the past 2 hours, Niamh Harrigan, Dara Doyle, Kevin Cullen, and also for coming in to us, Paul Allen.